Hey, everybody. My speech with James Lindsay live from America Fest. Thank you guys for attending that. Give whatever support you can to the most important organization of the country, Turning Point USA, at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. And please consider becoming a member of the Charlie Kirk team. That's charliekirk.com and click on the members tab, charliekirk.com. Click on the members tab and you guys get access to amazing content, including our exclusive conversation with Tucker Carlson. Listen to this little teaser.
I think people have a lot in common because they're all people. I really believe that. I know you think I'm like playing Dr. Seuss or something, but I really believe that. I think the race stuff is totally overblown to this day. And I've heard I'm very hated. I've never one time had any black person come up to me and be like, you're a racist. I hear all the time I'm a racist, which I'm not. I'd admit it if I was. I'm not. The only people who've ever called me racist are like angry 49-year-old white female lawyers. They're super convinced I'm a racist. Every black person I ever meet is like, hey, man. So I'm serious. I mean, maybe, I don't know, but I can only tell you my own experience. And I think most people don't spend all day mad about race. And you don't want to live in a country where they do, trust me, at all. So we have a lot in common, and I hope that people realize that before it's too late.
All right, become a member, everybody. CharlieKirk.com. That's CharlieKirk.com. Click on the members tab, and it's affordable for all ages. It's affordable for all people, and it helps us out, helps us grow and stay uncancelable. Go to CharlieKirk.com and become a member. One more thing for you to consider. If this show has blessed you this year, you guys can support us. $50, $100, $250. Some people give $1,000 before the year ends. It's at charliekirk.com/support. If you guys had a blessed year and you want to give back to our program, helps us hire staff, promote the podcast, grow the podcast. It helps us stay strong as we head into the consequential 2024 year, as we've done hundreds of speeches all across the country and brought you content every single day. So go to charliekirk.com/support. That is charliekirk.com/support. You guys can voice your support and pledge your support right there, charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. James Lindsay.
Charlie Kirk.
Are they trying to queer our kids?
Yeah, our education, our media, our social media is in the grips of a religious cult that's doctrine is called queer theory.
Tell us about it.
Well, queer theory, you know, we did this 2 years ago, sitting on this stage, and I was like, queer theory opens the gates to hell. And it is 100% true. The idea behind queer theory is, first of all, let's just get this out of the way. Queer is not an identity. You cannot be a queer person in who you actually are. Queer is explicitly defined as a political stance, which means it's as much of your identity as being a Republican or a Democrat or a member of the Green Party. It's not who you are. It is not being gay. It has nothing, in fact, to do with being gay. In fact, it's hostile to being gay in the same way that critical race theory is hostile to being black unless you agree with them. It's the exact same mentality. It is defined, queer is defined by David Halperin, who defined it in 1995, as a oppositional stance to the normal, the legitimate, and the dominant. So it is taking a purposefully oppositional stance to anything normal and legitimate on purpose, and then pretending that has to do with who you actually are. So it's Marxism, where instead of trying to take on capitalism as the private property that they want to smash, it's that some people get to be considered normal and other people are deviants, degenerates, weirdos, and perverts that also has to be smashed.
Is there a concerted effort to go after kids?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because kids are very impressionable. Like, an adult that gets a drag queen shoved in their face that they didn't expect is going to be very, you know, not swayed by this. Maybe you wanted to go to a drag show. I don't care, whatever. But a child that has a drag show in front of them, they have questions all of a sudden. Why is there a man dressed as a woman? Why is this performance happening? And it confuses them. It actually shuts down their processes to be able to understand what the world is. It forces them to turn to an expert. Remember when Ketanji Brown Jackson said that even though she's a woman, she doesn't know what a woman is without asking. She said a biologist, but without asking an expert. It induces that state in impressionable kids. This has a real name in the psychological literature called trauma bonding. You traumatize the kids to induce a personal identity crisis. Then you bond with them as giving them the only resolution to that. So you lead them away from their parents, you lead them away from their church, you lead them away from healthy role models, and you bond with them as a cult member who is engaging in activity that can only possibly be described by the word groomer, which you're now not allowed to say in Canada.
Okay, groomer, that's what we have to say to these teachers, right? That go after these kids. Are you saying that the Alphabet Mafia, they are intentionally trying to sexualize children? Why? Are they pedophiles?
Some of them, maybe, yes. The primary reason is the trauma. You need to create psychological trauma in order to lead somebody into a cult, into a state of dependency, into a state of confusion. The main point of queer theory is to introduce age-inappropriate materials to children to traumatize them. Look, actually, go find some of those videos where there are the exposés of children being exposed to drag queens and look at the kids' faces. They're horrified. They're horrified. And that sense of trauma needs resolution, and then they set themselves up. And when I said there's no word except groomer, I had this moment. I was on the BBC. They, of course, didn't play this because I got the guy. So the guy's interviewing me, and he says, well, you're caught up in that groomer scandal, would you like to explain yourself or something like that? And I said, listen, I'm going to read something to you straight out of the academic literature. You tell me what word I should use if you don't like groomer. And the stuff, I can paraphrase it, I can't quote it for you from memory, but it says that the point of drag queen story hour, specifically in schools, is to introduce children to an alternate mode of kinship based upon living queerly. And I said, what exactly word should I use for an alternate mode of kinship based on living queerly? Where they said that it's family friendly. This is a direct quote, in the sense of the queer family you find on the street. What word do I use? And the guy said, oh, you mean, well, yes. And so, yeah, it's grooming.
I have my own opinions. What is their goal? Do they want to create more young people to be trans and lesbian and gay, but while grooming them? What is their objective? What does success look like for the groomers?
They want more children to be trans, yes, because there are a large number of advantages for them for that. These are desperately...
What are those advantages?
Desperately confused individuals who are becoming medical patients in a huge, the biggest child abuse scandal that has ever happened in history, who have lifetime commitments to an extraordinarily expensive medical system. Like, they require medical care for the rest of their lives. Drugs, surgeries, support care. This is expensive. Well, what happens? You saddle kids with tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars of student loan debt. What do they start begging for politically? Student loan relief. You saddle kids with hundreds of thousands of dollars of medical debt. What do you think they're going to ask for? Socialized medicine. So that's one advantage. But more importantly, the cult aspect. They need broken, confused kids, just like Mao Zedong needed angry people who hated normalcy in China, the old ways of China. Mao created a Red Guard by radicalizing the youth to distrust their parents, to hate their parents, to hate the enemies of the people, to hate the people of the wrong classes, the people who weren't revolutionaries, the people who weren't activists. Mao did that, and what he created was a Red Guard. What they need is a Rainbow Guard. They need a bunch of broken young people who will flip out and go be activists while they're failing all their math classes at the drop of a hat, because the world seems to be cheating them. And the people who are actually destroying their psychology, destroying their physiology, are actually the people who are then wielding them as a weapon. And that's what they need. They need a radicalized, angry youth. So they don't need gays and lesbians. They need queers. They need radical, political,
anti-normalcy, anti-legitimacy warriors.
Queer used to be a slur, and now they embrace it. How do they even self-describe that term?
Well, I gave you the definition that Halperin gave, but this is a tactic that they use. As a matter of fact, queer theory uses some other tactics that make it very difficult to talk about. So this tactic is actually called strategic essentialism. So they adopt slurs that were used against them so that they wear it as a badge of honor. And then if you try to call them that, they accuse you of using a slur.
And that's the N-word thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. Another tactic that they use is they write absolutely disgusting things in their books that you can't quote. You just can't say them. You can't. Even these children's books. Look what happens. You go around the country, parents are showing up to school board meetings, and they're trying to just read the children's books out loud, and they're getting shut down. People try to read them on television, and it violates the FCC regulations, but it's okay for a classroom because it traumatizes the children and induces them to ask questions so they can be led into this situation. This is a strategic point, and I don't want to be super gross, but this book, David Halperin's book, which I said, if you want to go read the definition of queer, where it was defined, it's in a book called Saint Foucault, holding up the literal pedophile, postmodern Michel Foucault, as though he's a saint. He goes through 200 pages of why this guy's great, and then there are several sections, I'm trying to figure out how to say this in this setting, that describe very extreme sexual acts so gratuitously that it's almost impossible to quote the book. This is a tactic. They make it disgusting on purpose. I can't even use half the words that are actual academic terms in queer theory on this stage.
So how do we beat the groomers? They're going after our kids. They're doing so unapologetically. They want to create more people to be trans. Trans is a social contagion. Would you agree with that?
It's worse than that. There's a pressure pump into it. It's worse than social contagion. But yeah, so they demonize these basic white girl identities, and that's predominantly who's getting swept up in this. They demonize these identities. You can't be cool. You have nothing to stand on. Your race is a problem. This is CRT working together with queer theory. But guess what? It's perfectly cool. You become one of the most celebrated and interesting people in your class if you adopt a sexual identity or especially a gender identity. By the way, gender doesn't exist. That's just made up. Like, gender identity is literally a cult grooming term that is designed to mislead children and to confuse adults into supporting them into their own destruction. So they confuse these poor kids and they destroy them. That's what it's for. It's all it's for, Charlie. It's just to destroy kids so that they can turn them into a revolutionary army.
So James, do you think we're going to see a push or a focus on getting rid of child protection laws, legalizing pedophilia? Is that part of this?
I mean, you already see the pushes, and it's like, I don't say it is sometimes actually in the queer theory literature, but it's more accurate to say that the pedophile stuff is never far from the queer theory literature.
And some of their writers are pedophiles.
Well, that's true. Foucault, for example. That's right. But you see, for example, just after David Halperin defines queer, he says, well, it could mean a lot of things. So it could mean people that are in, you know, non-traditional marriages or marriages with children, very naughty children, for example. And it's in italics. It's like, what are you talking about, David Halperin? Or you read Gail Rubin, who's credited as writing the first paper in queer theory called Thinking Sex. And she has like three or four sections in there where she's defending what she calls intergenerational sexual relations. And then also she has a long section where she openly defends and says nobody will stand up for the boy lovers. So it's never far from the queer theory literature. I call it the dark heart of queer theory, is that there is this deep-seated agreement with the pedophiles. It's not necessarily the whole school, but it's a deep-seated agreement that's never far from the literature.
And there certainly isn't denunciation or intentional separation, but there's almost kind of parallel tacit approval or, at the very least, indifference to that. Would that be right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so I want to make sure that we really keep hitting this. James, battle plan. How do we beat the groomers? How do we beat the people who are queering our kids and trying to turn the entire country gay and trans?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot to answer that part of the question. We have the thing that these people fear the most is clear articulations that expose what they're doing. Yes. That's why they hide behind these language things. I mean, I've heard the F word off the stage, so I'll use it.
No, don't do it.
I'll say effing.
We got some homeschoolers here, and I got a lot of emails yesterday.
One of their actual terms.
Vivek, he caused me so many problems.
Vivek, yeah, that's who I was. Well, I'm not going to go to the bathroom in the middle of this either, Charlie.
Oh, so. My God. I got so many homeschool moms. They were swearing at me.
Gender effing, Charlie. Gender effing. That is a term of art.
Thank you. God bless, James.
That is a technical term in the field. It's an activity to make gender more weird, like it's not weird enough. So what do? We have to expose them. We have to expose them with clarity. We have to show how they are building these apparatuses, implementing these apparatuses, getting them in the schools, that they are using trauma bonding, that they are changing definitions. Here's an example. The DSM-5, when it talks about gender dysphoria, which used to have a completely different name, it used to be treated as another one of these delusional identity disorders like anorexia or one of these things where the goal is to treat the underlying disorder. But what it does is now is it switches to say we're going to treat the distress associated with the disorder. So now the goal isn't to treat the disorder, it's to treat the distress associated. So what do? Affirm it. And what that actually does is leads them further down the path. That this is a cult with a cult doctrine, with a cult set of beliefs, with the goal of cult recruitment that can't recruit adults easily except by making them sympathetic to their children after they recruit their children has to be exposed. And then we're going to have to start bringing increasing amounts of the law to bear on this, whether that's medical malpractice lawsuits all over the place. We're going to need expert witnesses who can pull apart the lies from the American Psychological Association on this, the American Psychiatric Association on this, the American Medical Association, 62 different medical associations around the world representing 1.3 million professionals have all signed on to the idea of gender-affirming care, which should rightly be called queer cult.
So, James, so glad you brought that up. I want to detour for a second and have you answer. When I go on campus, somebody might, they'll argue from their piece of evidence they'll say, is say, Charlie, this must be right because the AMA, because this 1.3 million person, are you trying to say, Charlie, that there is this trans conspiracy and that you disagree with the experts? How would you respond to that?
How do I disagree with experts? Let me write a paper about it. Let me see if I can get another paper published in the queer theory literature pranking them, because I've already done that.
Do you guys know that? Do you know that James Lindsay? He pulled off one of the greatest pranks and hoaxes in college history. He pretended to be somebody he wasn't. He got all these papers. What's the most egregious one?
I mean, the most egregious one is the one about watching dogs do dog humping at the dog park to judge that we have to train men the way we train dogs to end rape culture.
And what did the woman say about it?
That one was given an award for excellence in scholarship. The one about queer theory, though, was given was called an important contribution to knowledge. Another one was literally, speaking of Harvard University, by the way, was literally a transliteration of chapter 12 of Hitler's Mein Kampf into intersectional feminism, and they accepted it in a social work journal. So. Yeah, I have some problems with these professional associations. I think that the peer review system that they base their opinions on is not any better than the peers themselves. The system that produces the journal publications, the peers themselves, however corrupt they are, that's how corrupt that literature is. So yeah, I'll throw right in the face of 1.3 million medical professionals and say, don't cut healthy genitals off kids. Dude, how hard is that?
And we can't fall for the trap that if an institution says A, that A must be right or true. That is a logical fallacy. It is a trap. A great example, lobotomies used to be well endorsed by medical professionals. Bloodletting. Sometimes institutions get things terribly wrong. And at their core, they can't defend this position. There is no evidence that giving kids testosterone replacement therapy at 13 years old is going to solve an underlying mental issue that they have. There is no evidence of that. None in our reason, our common sense, compassion, in any sort of clinical data whatsoever. You know what we do have evidence for? We have evidence, thanks to Dr. Miriam Grossman, who is a hero for her book, Lost in Transnation, where she said, if we used to solve gender dysphoria through something called watchful waiting, you have somebody that says, I think I'm a boy, I think I'm a girl, and you watch them for 90 days and 120 days, and you see if with proper environment, proper discussion, if they still feel that way. And guess what? Puberty ends up not being the problem. Puberty is the solution to many gender dysphoria related issues. especially with young ladies. So young ladies, they might feel, oh my goodness, I have a lot of puberty anxiety. I might not feel at home in my body. If you go to every young woman in this audience or woman, I guarantee you there was a moment where you felt uncomfortable and not yourself in your body going through puberty. Praise God there is not some witch doctor that tried to cut off your breasts if you would have said that to a pediatrician.
The story is so sad, Charlie. To get right into what you just, the story is so sad because it's not even just puberty anxiety. A lot of times these young girls have actually experienced some kind of traumatic incident. Maybe it's a small one where somebody ogled them or something. Maybe it's a big one where they got actually sexually assaulted. Maybe it was something where they got groped as they turn 12 and they start to develop. They have some trauma. They develop shame about their body. They associate it with the changes that they're going through in their body. And then some witch doctor, some queer cultist leads them to believe that maybe what you should do is run from the body you are instead of deal with what actually happened to you in a healthy way. What we're doing is we're dealing with people who have sometimes serious underlying mental issues, sometimes less serious situations, trauma, injury, concerns, anxieties, and we're describing the most aggressive possible treatment protocol. Let's socially transition you, treat you as you're a completely different person, by the way, and hide it from your parents. Under official school policy, let's try Lupron. Let's do puberty blockers to you to stop the thing that will walk you out of this in many cases. Let's do cross-sex hormones, which will mess with your body tremendously. And hey, guess what? We have surgeries too. And then they are often misled. I know a person in my life who they couldn't stop it. Recently, this young girl, 13, 14 years old, something 12, maybe ends up going through a double mastectomy. This child and her misled father fully believe they'll grow back. They can fix that too. They're being lied to by the most evil cult that has ever taken grip of our institutions in the history of the world.
And so, James, we have 4 minutes. How do we beat these people? We must show, not tell. I think Pastor Amanchukwu has done a great job of this when he goes to school board meetings and he shows the profanity. What are the rules? What are the marching orders? How do we beat this cult? Because they control so many institutions. They control the media. I, right now, the Charlie Kirk YouTube page currently has a strike on YouTube because I said trans people suffer from a mental delusion. By the way, if you guys please help us out, subscribe on YouTube if you can. It helps actually us break out of that shadow ban. They control everything. We can't even speak about this in certain parts of social media. Praise God, Elon Musk has liberated Twitter because we finally have an opportunity to talk about it. James.
Yeah, you have to take advantage of those channels. We need an army of people. I know there are some even psychologists in this room who do this, who are digging into this, who are able to give clear articulations of what's wrong with it. We need people who are saying, no, this is really what the truth of the matter is. We need parents who are saying, no, absolutely not. We need parent after parent after parent protecting children. We need to figure out ways to reach our kids. Guess what? These are a problem. As much of this grooming activity that takes place in schools, it starts here and gets confirmed there. These things on social media, we have got to start thinking through very carefully what we want to expose our children to. It's not just these books that need to be exposed. Why don't we look at what apps they're using? Look at these new AI girlfriends and things like that that they're just, I've seen all over social media for last week. What a horror show. What do you think is going to happen if you're letting your children have unsupervised access to people who want to lead them down bad paths? We have to take these organizations, like the Trevor Project, for example, find out what's going on underneath the hood. We know James O'Keefe is here. He likes to find out what's under the hood of organizations. Well, somebody needs to be finding out what's going on at the Trevor Project that leads kids to call out and, oh no, I'm having a crisis. I might commit suicide. They reach out to this thing and they start telling them, well, maybe, you know, we're non-judgmental. So maybe you want to look into cross hormones or something. Maybe you want to look at an affirmation plan. Maybe you want to do that. And it has a button that they can push at any time. So if their parent takes their phone, they can push one button and it deletes their entire history so their parents can't possibly find out. What's going on at that place? By the way, the World Economic Forum listed it as one of 14 ed technology programs that's changing the world a couple of years ago. So what's going on there? We need to start digging into the apparatuses. There needs to be massive investigative journalism. There needs to be massive digging into the queer theory literature to show how evil it is. Stuff like Watchful Waiting, It Gets Better was another program from couple decades ago. And it works. It works and it works. And if you go to the queer theory literature and see what they say about it, they say that it's a narrative constructed to maintain social construction of childhood innocence. It robs you of the ability to engage in an initiation, which is the opposite of innocence in queer theory. This all has to be exposed boldly, clearly, and like John Amachuku, you've got to show it to people.
And we need to start to have Republican attorneys general, and DAs, sheriffs, and if we win back the White House, President Trump instructing the next attorney general, we need perp walks of these people who call themselves doctors that have been doing this to these kids. We need hundreds and soon to be thousands of these doctors to be handcuffed, to be put in prison, to say you are going to jail for the rest of your life. You are not going to be able to serve in decent society. And by the way, I'll be honest, some of these doctors have done more harm to America's youth than some people at Gitmo right now. So I hope you are thinking the way that I'm thinking. If you are a doctor and you gave a kid irreversible hormones, you are a wizard witch doctor who deserves to suffer for the rest of your life and pay for your crimes against humanity. James, close it up.
Yeah, listen, we've got to do what Elon Musk has taken the lead on, going after an organization called Media Matters. Hey, Media Matters, I know you're going to write an article about it. Let's go. You did last year before I got off the stage. Let's go. We've got to go after these organizations and figure out why on earth they are defending this. Not why are they internally defending. Who's funding them to defend this and why? Why is money being dumped into? Who's dumping money into destroying our nation's children at the psychological and physiological and spiritual level for this cult agenda? And what is behind that? We've got to get that. I hope Elon sues Media Matters straight into the bowels of hell where it needs to go now. And we've got to do it for every one of these organizations that does this. New York Times, you too.
James Lindsay, everybody, give it up for him. God bless.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.